I love Bible study. I love getting in the small group, you know, and bouncing it off of everybody and kind of going around and the time of getting into that. I love that. I love good preaching. I listen to a lot of good preaching online. I love good preaching when I'm preaching it, you know, that's fun. But boy, there's something about music. Isn't there? I had goosebumps. I was just tingling all over. It's like, Lord, I've been in the presence of God. Well, we are in a series that we've just started last week on true love and finding God's truth for love, sex, and marriage. And last week we talked about love and what is love and what's that all about? What's the difference between what the Bible says is love and what the world's telling us is love? And we really hit that. And I hope you didn't come out of here thinking that love is just this hard, dry commitment of the will. There's no drawing or attraction that's in there, but it is primarily a choice, and it is a blessing. And when you find somebody to love and who loves you in that special way, it's such a kind of a life-giving sense of being and emotions that go with it. Today, if you got your sermon note guide with the blue triangles on it, if you pull that out, we're going to follow along with that a little bit today. Today we're going to talk about two models of, or two formulas for building lasting love. And how does the world tend to do it? And what does the culture seem to teach us? What do we pick up from Hollywood? And what do we get from God's Word? Okay, and as Christians, we've got to make God's Word the standard. Folks, are you hearing me? We've got to make God's Word the standard for our lives. Okay, it's not what we see on television. It's not what we read on the little happy posters on Facebook. Okay, it's what God says. It's what the Word of God says. And that's what defines us. That's who we follow. We follow Jesus, and we stand for Jesus. He's got it together. He's got it right. If we do it His way, it works. Okay? Especially if we both do it His way in a relationship, right? And so there's two models, two formulas. One works, one doesn't. And this is the Hollywood's idea or the culture's prescription for lasting relationships. This is how it tends to go. And we're going to get to my little movie here in a minute. Are you ready for it? Okay. Yeah, a little video. It starts off with, first of all, you got to find the right person. Okay. It all starts here. Boy, they've got to be the right person. Okay. They got to be the right one. So that is the key. He's out there somewhere. She's out there somewhere. 7 billion people on the planet. And the right one for me is out there. So I got to get on the hunt. And I've got to get online. Or I've got to get my body in shape so I can be the right kind of bait to find the right person. Okay? I got to look good. And I got to go find them. And I got to be looking. Okay, that's step number one from the culture's point of view, is you got to find the right one. They have to be the right one. Number two then, step two, is you fall in love. So this is magical and mysterious. And we don't know how it happens, but somehow I'm head over heels, you know, and I just fall in love. It's kind of like I might be taking tokens at the subway, and all of a sudden I see this person, and it's like, yes, I found the right one, and I'm in love. You know, you ever have somebody a friend of you come up to you and say, oh, I'm in love. I'm in love. And they're like, look like they're floating on cloud nine all of a sudden. It's like, really? With who? Oh, the girl in class. I've fallen in love with her. Oh, the lady in accounting. Oh, my goodness, I'm in love. Oh, what's her name? I don't know. I don't know yet. Well, what's she like? Oh, she looks like this. It's like, okay, but what's her personality? I don't know. I can't get up the courage to talk to her. But I'm in love. And so you fall in love, that magical thing, and you have that ooey gooey feeling. And then step three, according to the way it seems to go in culture, in Hollywood, is you fix your, your prospects, or let's just say your hopes and dreams for future fulfillment on that person. You fix your hopes and dreams for future fulfillment on that person. In other words, they are the answer. They are the key. They're the one that I've been looking for, and now I'm in love, and now it's going to be happily forever after. Okay? And all my hopes of having fulfillment in life, finally, I can be fulfilled. Finally, I can be whole. Finally, I can be complete, because before I wasn't, but now I am, because that person came into my life. And so that's step three. And then step four, it's a four-step process, and you can kind of predict it, is when that fails, repeat steps one through three. It's like, oh, that fell apart. And all my hopes and dreams are crashed. I guess I thought I was in love. I sort of was in love, and I fell out of love. And I guess they weren't the right person. Isn't that the way it goes? Isn't that the kind of way we say it? Oh, it fell apart. I guess they weren't the right one. And so we kind of go through serial relationships. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 times, 8 times, 12 times. Finding the right one. Is this the right one? And then after a while, you kind of get cynical. There is no right one out there. And you decide, they're all jerks. All those women are selfish. All those guys are idiots. And you swear them off. You know, maybe. That seems to be the way Hollywood does it. Now, what does the Bible say? Let me say a few things about this. The assumption is that maybe it was just for a season, or they weren't the right one. And I guess they're not the right one for me anymore, because it's not working out. It's frustrating. It's hard. Let's go back and start over. Let me show you this video. It's like, maybe I didn't work out enough and attract the right one. I don't know. But even Superman has trouble with dating. And so we're going to watch how Superman does it.
So why do I stand like that?
Like what?
This.
Where I stand.
So you can leave the top building in a single bound, you can't return a phone call?
No, I... You know, the suit's impervious to stain.
People think that Superman means super boyfriend, but I'm human, just like everybody else. Actually, I'm Kryptonian, but other than the flying around and the x-ray vision and all that, I'm just another guy trying to find that super lady. You got something in your teeth.
Where?
No, the back ones.
Chicken's egg.
I got it.
No heat vision. Let's just tell the waiter like normal people.
Fine. Waiter.
Sorry I'm late. It was really trafficky.
Pretty sure that's not a word.
Well, neither is Superman.
Actually, it's two words put together.
Well, know-it-all is three words.
put together.
Well, Chisha! I barely pulled.
Hello, you have super strength. Hurt.
Ouch.
It didn't hurt. You're invincible.
I know. It's tough. You know, flying around, fighting crime, preventing earthquakes, trying to keep the alter ego thing straight. I hardly have time to vacation at the Fortress of Solitude anymore, and it's not exactly a Beyblade. How many girls want to hang out on the Arctic Circle?
Our first date, that went really well.
Actually, our first date was a disaster.
What?
It's okay. I flew around the world, reversed the Earth's orbit, and went back in time.
So how many dates have we been on?
I think this is the 9th? It was really funny. On the 3rd date, I sneezed and blew your head completely off. It's real funny how it can just... Call me.
I love these little videos. Call me. Flew back in time and did the date over again. How many dates? All right. Let's look at God's prescription then for lasting relationships. I think it's printed in your bulletin, so I guess we don't have to turn to it. But Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2 are right there. It says this, therefore be imitators of God's love, or imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I want to read it again. Therefore, be. It's be. Okay? It's not find. It's be. Be imitators of God. And so in this sense, God's way is saying, you don't go out and find the right person so much. Sure, there's kind of a match that's gonna be had. We'll talk about that here in a minute with the triangles. But you need to be the right person to begin with. He says, be an imitator of God. In other words, mimic God. Mimic God in His kindness and His generosity and His tenderheartedness and His forgiveness and His long-suffering and His patience. Mimic God in His self-sacrifice, His courage, His righteousness, His goodness. Mimic God in these ways. You become the right person before you try to find the right person. And then He says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Talk about that in a minute. And walk in love. Walk in love. So it's not fall in love. It's walk in love. You choose to be a lover. Giving. This is the definition I gave from one of those guys last week. It's giving the other person what they need the most when they deserve it the least. Giving the other person what they need the most when they deserve it the least, because that's what God does for us. It's a choice. It's a extending grace. I'm going to choose to walk in love, choose to walk in grace, extending grace to others. I'm going to be the kind of person who knows how to love the way Jesus loved. Not dumbly, not artificially, superficially, not unintelligently, okay? But I'm going to walk in love the way Jesus did, because I'm becoming an imitator of God. I'm going to imitate Him. And then third, it would be to fix your hope on God and seek to please Him through your relationship. So fix hope on God. Instead of fixing all my hopes and dreams for fulfillment on another person, I got to fix my hope on God. For all my hopes and dreams are fixed on Jesus, the one who's not going to fail me. Okay? Fix my hope and dream for future fulfillment or present fulfillment or any kind of fulfillment on God Himself. I fix myself on Him. I'm so centered on God that if I never got into a romantic relationship, I would still be a whole person. See what I'm saying? And so I'm so centered and fixed on him, and so then I can choose to hook up with somebody else who's fixed on God as well. It really takes a lot of the pressure off of trying to become something for somebody else or trying to change somebody else. Takes all of that out of it. We're all trying to just please God, and we hook up together, our roads together, let's say, and it becomes this encouragement and challenge to one another to love each other, to build each other up. And so walk in love, fix your hope on God, and then step number four, if this were to fail, repeat steps 1 through 3. Now this is different because I'm not just going out on the hunt again, trying to going through person after person, leaving a wake of people behind me. Okay? Rather, when things start to get hard in a relationship and things start to struggle and kind of get jagged, I need to go back and become an imitator of God. I need to go back and work on myself and become the right person and walk in love and fix my hopes and dreams on God. Somewhere when things are starting to go wrong, I'm starting to go wrong in one of these three areas. Okay? When things are starting to go wrong, I'm starting to go wrong in one of these three areas. So, what about this? Starting a relationship, finding the right person, and that kind of thing. Let me give you two models for that. And there's the two triangles here, the two pyramids. We call them pyramids. But first, I need to wash my board. I like it, you know, pretty clean. Okay. The first pyramid, we're going to call it the cultural or the Hollywood, again, pyramid or model or formula. Let's call it a process. And this process is going to start down here. And it goes kind of like this. First of all, we start down here, building our pyramid down here with the physical. Somebody catches my eye. Check her out. Check him out. It used to be that guys were so, you know, are so visual, and that hasn't changed at all. They notice the woman's or the girl's body and her face and her hair and all that kind of stuff and how she appears, how she looks. I got a flutter here just based on how she looks. Could be a picture, you know, of a person. Could be an airbrushed picture of a made-up person, you know. It doesn't even have to be a real person, and they could become attracted to this. You see what I'm saying? It used to be that the girls then would say, wow, he's got such a strong chin, you know, or I like his hair. And it's like, anymore, it just seems like girls are checking out the rear end again now. And it's like, wow, look how that fits him. So anyway, that's embarrassing to talk about, but it seems like that's the way it is, you know, I don't know. And so that's where it starts. You notice this vision across a crowded room. And then your emotions kind of take you away. It's like, oh, wow, I really get excited about this person, and my emotions kind of start to tie myself to that person, and I become this infatuation starts to happen. And then we have the psychological. Maybe I should learn their name, you know, and maybe I should start finding some stuff out. But we want to start dating and start hanging out and getting together, and then I'll start kind of getting to know the person. Oh, there is another line in here. It's the social, and then maybe I'll introduce them to my parents, or maybe We will learn who's each other's friends are, or I'll start maybe starting to observe them in social situations. But by this time, we've moved in together and we're cohabitating. But now we want to make it official. And whenever we want to make it official, all of a sudden now we're starting to feel like we're going to be spiritual because we got to do it right. We got to do it in a church. And so I may not want to follow God's plan in a lot of areas, but now we're going to get married in a church. And now I'm paying attention to maybe what's spiritual. Okay, this is not God's plan. God's plan, as you can imagine, would be just the opposite. Okay, that we start with the spiritual. We ask, is this person a committed believer? I meet somebody, and my first question is, where are they at on the God scale, so to speak? Are they a committed believer? I'm looking for their character. I'm looking for their vision, for their life. I'm looking for their values. In fact, this person does not even come into my relational radar screen unless they pass this little litmus test at the outset, okay? Until I know that they are a spiritually quality person. And then I observe them socially. It's like, what are they like around their friends? How does he treat his mom? That tells you a lot. What kind of drama seems to go in their group? You know, what happens there? Before you ever ask them out, don't ask them out. That'll ruin everything. You short circuit the whole process. Just don't even start there. Yeah, get to know them. Don't pair up too early. This is what I'd say to people who are kind of in the dating life, stage of life or aren't already in a committed relationship. Don't pair up too early. Get to know them in the context of a group. Okay? I call it group dating. You know, well, we're going to youth group. That's where we see each other. You know, or we're that kind of thing. We're all the whole gang's going out for pizza. Okay. Then, you know, as you're going along, it's like, okay, I kind of observed they passed the litmus test. I'm seeing how they are socially. It's like, you know, I can get along with that. And then psychologically, I get to know them. Find out what are they? Psychologically. Get to know what are they like. And then the other, or who they are, and what their interests are, and what are their dreams, and what are their hopes, and that kind of thing. Then it's the emotional. And this is what I would say about the emotional and getting emotionally attached. Keep your emotions, get this, write it down. Keep your emotions behind God's leading. If you get your emotions in before God's leading, then you're not going to follow God's leading, you're going to follow your emotions. Keep your emotions behind God's leading. You seek Him out. And remember, my hopes and dreams are in God, and I'm walking in love, and I'm becoming the right person, but I'm seeking out His will, and so I'm kind of going through the spiritual tests first, and I keep my emotions behind His leading. This will save you a lot of pain. Chip Ingram calls it the dance. Don't do the dance, where you go through the Hollywood model and the upside down pyramid, and you end up wounding or getting wounded, and you wound and you get wounded and you wound and you get wounded and you wound. And he says, basically, you're practicing for your divorce. You know, that's what it is. So keep your emotions behind God's leading. But when God is leading, then go all in. You're all in, committed, and then save the physical part, so that the honeymoon can actually be special. What we have today is pseudo-sex and pseudo-intimacy, where people don't make love anymore. They just have sex. And sex cannot sustain a relationship. In a few weeks, I'm not sure exactly when, we actually are going to have this Christian sex therapist come. and talk to us about the biblical view of sex. And I'm excited for her. Her name's Twyla. She'll be coming. And I think in October. But one thing she would be the first one to tell you is that sex cannot sustain a relationship. And I can prove that to you, by the way. If it could, there'd be no divorce. Because sex is always, you know, available in the marriage, perhaps. But it cannot sustain a relationship. It does not have that power. It's the spiritual that has the power. So here is some questions for you, and then just to kind of sum up, and then we're done, okay? First of all, which triangle would you say reflects the way you go about relationships? Which triangle reflects the way that you've been going about relationships? Is it kind of like, yeah, well, you know, I got to wait till they catch my eye? Or do you see if they're catching God's heart first and then build up from there? Okay, which way reflects the way you go about it? Number two, which triangle do you want your future or your present relationship to look like? You want it to be, you know, this is upside down pyramid because the pyramids I noticed in Egypt, they don't look like this. And I think if they had, maybe there was one guy who said, oh, Pharaoh, let's build them this way. And they got started and found out, oh, hey, those don't stand up very well. You know, they just tip over. And so they decided, well, okay, maybe it's this way. Yeah, maybe it's that way. And so getting it upside down. Which triangle do you want your future present relationship to look like? Is it built on just physical, emotional ups and downs and that kind of thing? Or is it built on this strong spiritual foundation? And then thirdly, what specific steps do you need to take to begin implementing God's secret for lasting relationships? What specific steps do you need to take to begin implementing this proper order or process? For example, some may be in a relationship, and maybe they're already moved in together or something, and they need to say, hey, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. You know, we need to maybe, we skipped a few steps. We need to back up. We need to back off. I've heard of couples kind of get a hold of the whole pyramid thing, or they get a hold of God's word, or they become Christians, and they say, you know what, we haven't been doing it right. And even though it's more expensive, they move out. You know, they find a different way to go. Maybe you're married. Some are married. But there's holes in your relationship. There's parts of this that are just missing, and maybe it's down here. There isn't times of prayer and Bible reading. God wants you to be best friends, to be lovers, and to be spiritual soulmates. To be spiritual soulmates. And I'm going to venture to quote somebody else who said, the average woman is asking the average man, saying to him, is if there was spiritual intimacy, I'd feel way more comfortable with sexual intimacy. Average wife saying to the average husband, where does your relationship need to be strengthened? Maybe you're not in a serious relationship at all right now. Okay? And so here's how this might apply, is don't do the dance. Don't do the dance. Don't follow the world's way. Use a completely different approach to how you decide to get into a relationship. Don't do the dance of I think I found the right person, I'm going to fall in love. And it's like, let God's leading be in front of your emotions. Maybe you are involved, and so maybe you need to sit down in the next couple dates and walk through these notes and have an honest conversation. It could go like this. Are we where we need to be in each of these areas? Are we on track? Do we need to change what we're doing here? And then one other point. For those who may be divorced, widowed, they just got dumped, and you feel just wounded, can I say this? Don't get involved in any relationship for a year to 18 months. I'll put a time on it. Year to 18 months. You got to give yourself time to heal and to become emotionally whole. The worst decisions you will ever make are when you lose a mate, or you're coming out of divorce, or you were in a serious relationship and it just broke up, The rebound will kill you. Get whole. Les and Leslie Parrott said, if you attempt to build intimacy with another person before you've done the hard work of becoming a whole and healthy person yourself, then every relationship will be an attempt to complete the wholeness that you lack, and it will end in disaster. I think I put that quote in your notes. So the people who are ready for a serious relationship are the people who don't need one. So that, not the ones who are going around saying, I need somebody to complete me. I need somebody to love me, to love me, to love me. You make my life worthwhile. Rescue me. Or somebody who's saying, I need to rescue someone because it makes me feel fulfilled. That is a formula for dysfunctional relationships, guys. And so when through my relationship with God, I know I'm loved and I feel loved and I'm secure in Him and I'm complete in Him and I'm affirmed by Him and I belong to Him and I'm whole and I'm healthy and I like and desire a relationship, but I don't need one in order to be fulfilled or loved or cared for or a significant person. I have all that in Christ. When you have that, gang, then you're the most attractive person on the planet. Most attractive person on the planet. The people who are ready for a serious relationship are the people who don't necessarily need one. It'd be good, but they don't need one, quote unquote. Amen and amen. All right. Let's stand and close in prayer. And we're going to sing our way out. So let's have the band come up. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your love. Somebody wrote a song one time, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Well, that song could very well be written to Jesus Christ. In fact, he's the only one who it should properly be addressed to, because you're the only one who can show us. And in fact, the Bible tells us we wouldn't know what love is except that Christ first loved us. And so thank you. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to do it your way, to get the pyramid right side up, and to seek after your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.